Freedom calls. You know, the thing is, do you recognize her when she calls, and how does she call, and what is true freedom? You know, you could live in a nation that is free, but if you don't have, if you do not have peace of mind, you're really not free. So a lot more goes with it to really be happy in these flesh bodies. That's to listen to that freedom when she calls, to find her, solicit her, and hang on to her. For it is a gift of God that He sends. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We live in perilous times. You're all watchmen and you're supposed to watch. But it helps a great deal to watch if you have this freedom totally and can enjoy it and be content and happy there within. Chapter 2 of the great book of Colossians, verse 1, and it reads, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Laodicea is justice of the people. And justice is what is needed, okay? That is to say, to do what's right, okay? He says, "I'm concerned because there's many around you that don't do what's right," okay? Verse 2, "that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." What a wonderful thing to have that knowledge, that wisdom, which is to say, to know God's plan and to know how to be free within it. Then you're free indeed. Okay. Verse 3, "in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And it's only in Him. You're not going to find it in the world. You won't find it at all in the world, because all you're going to find there is turmoil, differences of opinion, confusion, and many times destruction. For the name of power, many people will do many things, when in Christ we have the real power, okay? The real name, the name that is over all, the name that gives us freedom from all, and gives us power over all. Verse 4, "and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." That's what he's concerned about. That some nutcase is going to lead you astray. Why? Because you maybe listen to him instead of checking it out in God's Word. Always check an individual, this one or any other one, out in the Word of God, to make sure that you're not beguiled. You know, you can lose everything very easily, and it's not like losing something in this world that you can work and gain back again. It's like losing your soul that is eternal. That's important. And is a very serious obligation to one that seeks that knowledge, to know it's all in Him. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, you've heard me read it many times, wisdom begins with revering Almighty God. Why? Because all wisdom comes from Him. That's where you find it, in His Word, this Word He has written. Verse 5, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." This is something I wish that all of you would attain to and do, and that's steadfastness. Don't be a reed shaken in the wind. Don't hear some nutcase over here and then one over there and wonder, well, which one was right? It's God's Word that is right. It is written. That's the end of the subject. Know your subject. Know the Word of God. For you're not far from truth, for truth is His Word. And quite frankly, truth is freedom. It is what sets you free. Verse 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him." I mean, you've got Him, you've received Him, He has taught you, now stick with it. When you are tempted some other way, drive it away. Don't put up with it. It's trying to beguile you. You don't have time for it. Get rid of it. And stay steadfast in peace of mind and truth. And know that truth of the certainty. That's keep him in your daily life. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let your roots, you know, whatever your root settles down into, that's what you're going to draw up and become. You don't want to plant your root in the ways of the world. Or I'll tell you what you'll become. Okay, the rudiments, the elements, lies, misleading, deception. You want to stay in him, which is to say truth, and grow strong. Let that taproot of yours grow into Christ. That is to say, draw from him to know and understand. Therefore, you are rooted indeed, and give thanksgiving for it. Don't just sit there unthankful. You know, when he does something for you, he expects you to thank him, don't you? You know, if you do somebody a favor. You know, there's one thing. I'll just use an example. If I see somebody that's in a bind and they need to turn or something, and I've stopped my car and motioned them on through, and if one of them just puts his nose up in the air and drives on through and without saying thank you, you wonder, did I do the right thing? You know. I mean, you know, be thankful when somebody does you a favor. That's Christianity, you know. And be thankful and appreciative. And that spreads. It catches on, okay? But, and so it is. Give thanks. Always give thanks to him for leading you, guiding you, and directing you. And most of all, for sending you this handwriting, this word, this letter of love that instructs you, assist you, helps you in every way of life. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and after the rudiments, that's the elements, bad elements of the world, and not after Christ. You know, you can be drawn aside real easy. In modern day time, we have something in our homes, most everyone does, that's called TV, a boob tube. I think that's what some people call it. And you know, you can be piping bad stuff if you're not careful right into your home. Yet at the same time, as a tool for news and a watchman, it's a wonderful tool. So it's according to what you use it for in this world. You don't be afraid to expose yourself. That is to say, know that those rudiments, because you live in this world. It is not that you are to run from it, but you're to overcome it in the power of Christ. Verse 9, for in him, listen carefully now, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's why it said, call him Emmanuel. Well, what does that mean? It means God with us. Within him dwells the full Godhead. In other words, his word is it. Okay, because you're hearing the Father speak. Verse 10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. This means not only power here on earth, but principalities in high places, meaning even fallen angels, bad spirits, wickedness, that is evil. His name is power over all those things. You know something? I would hate to be without him in this generation. I truly would. If you were to be aware of some that come here and what they bring with them, that wishing with cleansing, you'd know what I mean. Okay. The world is full of bad spirits. In certain, there's not one behind every bush, but certainly the rudiments are in this world. Stick with Christ. And in his name is power to overcome all. Get those tap roots down, where you're not easily moved this way or that, but you're actually growing into him for what he has done for you. 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That applies to both male and female. It's circumcision of the heart, that you're in Him, that you love Him, and He can count on you. Do you know something? That makes a big difference to Him. He uses whom He knows He can count on, that are stable, that are steadfast. Verse 12, listen carefully. 12, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. I want you to know what this operation, this word operation is in the Greek. It's important. It's energia. Energia. It's like our word energy in the English. In the energy of God. He wants to work that energy even within you. And you must see that and understand it. Okay. That's rooted in, part of the family. Died with Him, resurrected with Him, you become a new creature. Still living in this world and still exposed to temptations, but able to overcome in most cases, and repentance when not. Okay. Verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened, that means made alive eternally, together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Did you get that? You know, so many people will repent of a sin and ask forgiveness, and then keep bringing it up. When He's forgiven it, it's gone. Doesn't exist. And when you keep bringing it up, it's like you're calling Him a liar. Guess what? He does not like that. When you're forgiven, it's over, friend. Then relax, be rooted back in that plant that is Christ, and enjoy life. Okay. Verse 14, very important. It's kind of why we came here. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now, I want you to absorb this word blotting. Okay, it means to sear, to smear over. Okay, it means to obliterate. Now, take that word seriously, because it's your sin we're talking about. To obliterate. When He blots out your sins, they're obliterated. They're gone. They don't exist. That's something a Christian really needs to learn, because otherwise you can be very insulting to the Godhead. It is true that you will remember sin. That's experience, and it keeps you from falling into that trap again. But to ask forgiveness for it after you've been forgiven, when it is obliterated, listen to me. It is important, because these are legal terms. And when it said here, the ordinances and the handwriting, this word handwriting is a very special word. Okay, it is to chirograph or clipograph. Okay, to write, but in a legal sense, it's a legal terminology. And it means exactly that. There are certain things then you're exempt from. Not the law, but blood rituals. Okay. And other ordinances. Meaning what? Well, if you're still sacrificing animals for blood sacrifices after Christ died on the cross, you're a heathen. Okay. You understand that? You're a heathen. Because you're denying Christ's blood. So it was nailed to the cross with Him, and that's done away with. But at the same time, your other sins that He smears over, that He obliterates, that he rubs out, they're gone also. And that's the beauty of Christianity, is forgiveness. This being a legal term, this is what brings freedom. It's what frees you from sin. It's what gives you freedom in life today. It's freedom given only by Almighty God, and this is the legal terminology that brings it forth, okay, that nails it, that is assures you. It's a guarantee that if you follow His instructions and if you repent, your sins in this world are gone, and you're free. Free at last. Free at last. And He, well, what made that possible? He did. And you'll have a lot of so-called people that will say, well, it's free. No, He paid an awesome price for that. He died on the cross. He died for you, that you could have this possibility, that you could have this truth, that you could have this freedom. You know, every man, woman, and child from within has that desire to be free, to not be inhibited, to be able to worship God as you please, to be able to follow God as you please, and to care for your family, and to have the freedom to go where you want to, when you want to. And you'll fight for that freedom. Many of us have. Many of us have even shed blood for that freedom. And there are people right in this room, I can see one that has just recently returned from defending our rights, as well as others. It's not, you may sit there and think it's free. It isn't. It cost a price, so be thankful for it. Enjoy it. Relish it. It's freedom. And freedom reigns. And this is the scripture that brings that guarantee, having nailed it to the cross. What did he nail? Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, that's evil spirits, I mean crushed them, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In what? In himself, over them. And then giving you power to do the same if you're with him, if you're rooted in him. Let in his name, of course, not your name. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Christ. Christ became our Sabbath. Christ became our high holy day. Well, what's that? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, Christ became our Passover. And Passover is the high holy day of Christianity, regardless of what someone might try to mislead you into saying is not true. It's biblical. It's the high holy day because why? Because in Christ, the wickedness must pass over you. It must bypass you. Why? Because you have the blood of Christ. You are rooted in it. And it has made you free of those things. When you exercise the power, listen to me, you have to exercise the power and the authority that he gave you. In his name, get rid of junk. Okay. Let other people have the junk. You don't want it. Okay. If they want to play with it, let them play with it night and day. But you don't need junk in your life. You need the real thing. You need peace of mind. You need freedom. And that freedom comes in that way. He gives you that power. Verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. You know, you stay in Christ. A lot of people follow evil spirits and are not even aware of it. You know, well, where do you find evil spirits? Usually in churches. You know, Satan would rather work from a pulpit than anywhere else. He always did. What did he use in tempting Christ? Christ had to remind him in Matthew chapter 4, we're not going there, in verse 4, verse 6, verse 7, and verse 10, it is written. that I will not follow you. And giving scripture, but what did Satan tempt him with? The word of God. Do you understand that? Satan tempted Christ with the word of God. Only he twisted it about 90 degrees on the end to make a lie out of it. How many Christians are familiar enough with the scripture to recognize that? That's why you want to be in that power, in that strength. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Let's pick it up with verse 5, if we may. Mark chapter 7, verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands?" Now, did you catch that? See, I want you to be sharp. Whose traditions do you follow? I hope you follow the traditions of Christ. They're wanting him to follow the tradition of men, elders. Okay. Now, wouldn't it be pertinent to ask Christ, why don't you and your people follow men? When here was the Son of God standing before them. Talk about impertinence. What did he say? Verse 6. He answered and he said unto them, Well has Isaiah... prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this is what you want to pay attention, that handwriting, that legal decree that gives you freedom. Don't ever read over it. As it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They like to say, I love the Lord and I serve the Lord, and they're liars. Okay. What? They do the traditions of men, of the elders. Well, this good preacher said that, and this good preacher said that, and this is why we go with this preacher and that preacher and some of the other preachers. Have you ever thought of following Christ? If you want to be an overcomer, you want to be free, then do not follow men. Follow Christ. Follow a teacher that teaches God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Rather than telling you about, you ought to hear the story of mine, Mabel, and how she come to salvation. Now, that might be a good story, but if you're studying God's Word, it won't apply. Okay? And you'll be left out in the cold. You wouldn't have those scriptures that enrich your life and help you find freedom. For freedom calls you. She rings out. She calls. She's there for you. When you listen to Him, when you're in Him doing the things that do set you free. These people that are hypocrites, that's play actors. They just play in church. That's what the word hypocrite means, is play actor in the Greek, okay? Verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Not God, but of men. Well, in our church we have these rules. That's one of your first warnings right there. Okay, for if a church that does that, this word of God is not their rule, you could get in a big bind in a hurry. Okay, for laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the traditions of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other things like things you do. He went ahead and he dressed them down. He said, You want us to, you sprinkle a little here and sprinkle a little there. He wasn't talking about just washing their hands before they ate. They had this ritual according to the elders. Okay. And then he goes ahead and he said, you got another little habit you do. You say in your family concerning your parents, though you're supposed to honor your mother and your father, that if you'll give all your money to the church and let them starve, it's Corban. That's a term that means it's liturgical, and it'll hold. You'll still go to heaven. Would you believe that? I hope you wouldn't believe that. Because the commandment says, you shall honor your mother and father, and it will be, it's the first promise of lengthening the days of your life. Okay. Now, you may get an old man that's a pistol, all right? I mean, he's trouble. And it's hard to honor somebody like that, okay? But at least he helped bring you into the world. So cut a little slack here and there. But that's what he's talking about. But what did he mean? What did Isaiah write? That's what's important. Let's go there and find out. Isaiah 29. And I want you to remember what Isaiah 29 is. Many of you will remember me teaching it, which is woe to Ariel, the city which David dwelt. Ariel in the Hebrew tongue means the Lion of Judah. Who is the Lion of Judah? It's Christ, okay? Lion of Judah. It's Jesus Christ himself, okay? But I want to get down to the part that he was talking about. Verse 7, okay? This is very important to the time slot you're in right now, so you want to pay close attention. This is what Christ was warning about, okay? And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, even all that fight against her and her munition and that distress her shall be as a dream of a night vision. Those that come against the true house of Israel or the true house of Judah, they're going to be puffing air, okay? It's like a man dreaming he's real hungry. Verse 8, it shall even be as when an hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint. And his soul hath appetite, so shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion, that fight against the true house of Israel and the true house of Judah. They're going to be puffing air. They're not going anywhere. Now, Israel at this time, as it is written, is not supposed to loan money. To borrow money. We are to loan money. But as a nation, we are not supposed to borrow money. We're doing many things we shouldn't be, so you want to pay attention. Well, what happens when we do that? The naughty board comes out. God takes hold of it, and he does correction. Make sure you're not in line with it, okay? In other words, they're preaching stuff and doing stuff, but it's like a man that is dreaming he's eating. It's not going to do you any good, okay? It's empty stuff. Verse 9, stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. They act like a bunch of children, even those in leadership. And let this not be a miracle to you, for God promised in Romans 11, that he would send the spirit of slumber upon those that are not really following him, the hypocrites. Okay? So don't let it shake you up when you see them acting thusly. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. It's kind of like the spirit of slumber, all right, but it's stupefy yourself and be stupid. Okay, let me translate it the way it should be. Stupefy yourself and just be stupid if you want to be. Or would you rather be free? Okay. For the Lord has poured out upon the spirit of the deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and rulers, we got that. The seers hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. But aren't you supposed to be a scholar of God's Word? Well, yes. But I'm speaking not for myself, okay, but for many so-called scholars today. Well, tell me about the book of Revelation. Why can't it be sealed? Well, how could preacher then scholar of God's Word tell me this? Answer me one question. If the book of Revelation is supposed to be sealed, why did God call it the revealing? It's supposed to be revealed to everyone. Somebody's lying somewhere, and I don't think it's God. You see, you want to be careful in these end times when who you listen to. Always listen to your Father and His Word. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. You're looking at yourself today, my friend. You're looking at your nation. Watch it close. 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. All they do is do a bunch of principles of man, traditions of men, philosophers. 14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. You're living in it. We are doing some of the stupidest things nationally that could ever be done to our own people. Many enemies have tried to take this nation down, but stupidity can do it quicker than anything. You're living it, my friend. Find freedom. 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us? Who's going to know? And who knoweth us? God does. Okay. He pays attention. 16. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay, for shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing formed say of him that framed it, he hath no understanding? When God made me, he didn't know what he was doing. That would be a dangerous thing to say, but that's what it's talking about. And you know, you have a lot of people today that'll say, I'm in a high office, but I am an atheist. I just want to be truthful with you coming out the gate. Okay, so you can understand. Now, you'll never understand an atheist, because unless you read this chapter and you know why he is an atheist, stupid is as stupid does. Okay. Many say, well, this atheist wanted, there's a day for Christianity, they have Passover, they have this, that, and the other, and this atheist says, Judge, I want a day set aside for atheists. And the judge said, well, you've got one. And he said, I beg your pardon. The judge said, it says here that any man who refuses God is a fool, and you have April 1st already. Okay. So it is. When they turn things upside down, sometimes you want to pay real close attention, all right? So especially when they turn things upside down. Do what they shouldn't to correct a situation, making it worse. 17. Is it not yet a little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? What this is saying, and you want to listen carefully because it loses it in the translation, what it's saying is pretty soon that uncultivated land is going to become the cultivated land, and the cultivated land is going to be a forest. Meaning, people are going to change. Okay, you got it? It's a proverbial saying in the Hebrew tongue. It means people are going to change. Okay, those that were nothing and wild are going to be what's right. And those that claim to be what is right is going to be wrong. Okay, 18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of the obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. In other words, if you want emptiness, you're not going to get it. Those that look for crime. Let me tell you something. What this is saying, they always try to make what's right wrong. And if you get somebody that comes along with a good frame of mind and is for life, and that practice what's right, guess what they're going to do to them? They're going to try to crucify them. They're going to call them everything in the book and all a bunch of lies. Because when the hypocrites stick together and lie together, many people will believe it, to the chagrin of a person's heart that is right, is for life. You know, what amazes me is these people will say to people that go to war, you're out there killing. What do you think an abortion center is? What do you think that is? Okay. Which side are you on? Okay. So you stop and think. Now, you have occasionally God sends someone that can come forward, that can bring things that should be considered right. And look what happens to them. They're going to be, the press, first of all, the liberal press is going to pick up on it. And they're going to try to crucify that person. You're living in this time, and a word to the wise is sufficient. Okay, and 21. They make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. When that person tries to do what's right, do you know what the gate is? That's the judgment seat. The judges will come down on them, okay? And every time we have someone that does what's right, they end up being crucified. You could even take, I'll go with our last president. He's just a plain old citizen now. He ordered the surge. Boy, was it a time to celebrate on the 4th. For it was complete and it worked. It was wonderful. It brought us the victory. Did he get a lot of credit for that? Did the troops get a lot of credit for that? Well, you be the judge, okay? And when any person tries to do what's right, you can rest assured the press is going to try to take them down with whatever lies they can bring forth, whether it's joking or kidding. Bob is just funning. Well, when it's cruel, that's not fun. Okay. So beware and be alert. You're living it. When those that try to do right, they're going to be crucified. But what's God going to do about it? Verse 22. Therefore, thus saith the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob is the natural name for all 12 tribes. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. We're taking over, in other words. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, not man's name, not somebody else's name, but God's name through Jesus Christ, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear, that's to revere, the God of Israel, not the Antichrist, but the true one. You see, that's what all this is leading to. This one, the right and the wrong and the hypocrite, and that's what makes the big difference. Some have to stand against the false one. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. When is that? In the millennium, of course. Do you know what freedom truly is? You'll find it in St. John chapter 8 in the New Testament. In closing, you're all very familiar with this chapter. You should be. I want to pick it up with verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." 32. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Truth is freedom. But you've got to have the real truth. Not the scattered, jangled, mixed up words of the traditions of men. Not misleading philosophies of feel better doctrines that are contrary to the Word of God. It is so simple to do what's right. It is so simple to be what's to do what's just. What was Christ leading up to here? And it brings you right down to the key of David, which is to say, so you're not deceived in the end times. They kept saying, "Well, we are the seed of Abraham." He said, "Well, I know you are. Why? Because father, what does the word Abraham mean? It means the father of many nations. Everybody. Okay? If you're living, you're really under him." But what he was getting at was verse 44. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, who is he talking about? Well, let's take a little Bible quiz. Who was the first murderer? Let me think. It was Cain. You got it. Bingo. Kenites. He was talking to Kenites, to who the Antichrist returned to. And you better know who they are, where they are, and what they stand for. It's something just opposite of Christ. A lot of people talk a figure Godhead, and a lot of people claim to be of the Godhead, but you better pay close attention, because it's all just mouth and no action. By no action, I mean it's not from the Word. And there's only one way you can find that truth he's talking about, and that is to have the freedom of being rooted in Jesus Christ and living it, being it, enjoying it, and putting everything negative that comes along in your life that wishes to push aside peace of mind and take you over. Stop it. Throw it out in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't put up with it. And serve Him. Find that truth which sets you free. Freedom calls. It calls throughout the Word of God. See that you make that answer, and let your answer be, "Yes, I'm here, Lord." Father, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the written word. Thank you, Father, for using these in these end times. Watch over them, guide them, let them be a blessing to all they come in contact with. In the name of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Amen.